but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
And Howard is defending Aldridge. So in case the Blazers go for a two to their best player, Howard is defending him. Batum throws to Lillard. A three for the game.
Certainly, Damian Lillard provided some big moments for Blazer fans. Milwaukee Bucks now moving off of Lillard and spreading his $113 million salary over the next 5 years, it looks like. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, friend of this show, formerly covered the Blazers, man who knows what's going on, joining us now. What was your reaction when you saw this, Ben?
John, it's a pretty wild move. I think it's just so indicative of this summer's free agency period. You know, the biggest move of free agency, it wasn't a signing and it wasn't even a trade. It was Damian Lillard getting waived. You know, that shows you how little cap space is out there, how there's just no money burning holes in anybody's pockets. It's just been kind of a quiet start to the season. But for Milwaukee, when you look at this Lillard move, you explained it very well. They can stretch out his 2 years of remaining contract, you know, money over the next 5 years. It's sort of like getting a personal loan to pay down your credit card. You know, it gives you like a little bit of a short-term relief, but that's just going to be lingering over the Bucks here for the next 5 years. I mean, they're going to be looking back all the way until 2030 and thinking, man, if only we can get that Damian Lillard money off of our salary cap. So I think it's a very short-sighted move by Milwaukee in an effort to kind of make Giannis happy and go get a center and Miles Turner and try to sell them on the idea that they can be contenders next year in the Eastern Conference, which has just been wrecked by injuries to Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton. But I don't really think the Milwaukee Bucks are going anywhere without Damian Lillard. And I think for him, it's now an opportunity to open up a new chapter of his career, maybe the final chapter of his career, go find a new team, rehabilitate that Achilles injury, get himself back 100% right without the pressure of trying to make it work with Giannis when it clearly was never going to work with Giannis. They just had no chemistry on the court whatsoever. And, you know, frankly, I think Lillard got cut free and he gets a huge paycheck out of it. It's a pretty good day to be Damian Lillard. I'm not sure it's such a good day to be a Bucks fan. And last point, John, the Blazers own a lot of Milwaukee's future picks because of that Lillard trade. Blazers fans are huge winners here, because the Bucks are not going to be very good by the time those picks convey. Those could be very valuable draft assets.
Ben Golliver with us, Washington Post. Ben, yes, good day for Blazer fans. They should take it. Lillard gets $113 million spread out over 5 years. If he signs as an unrestricted free agent, you know, here coming in the coming weeks, does that mean he double dips, or does his salary, is there an offset? What happens?
Yeah, you know, it does get complicated there. I think what it frees him up to do, though, because he's got that money no matter what, he can hand-select a team and basically give them a bargain basement discount and say, hey, like, I don't really need a bunch of money from you because I'm already getting paid by Milwaukee, right? It's sort of like when coaches get fired, you know, and it's like, all right, well, you know, I could just chill for a year, but then if I get another contract, like, I'm still getting paid either way. So for him, it allows him to prioritize destination. Does he want to go to a nice climate? Does he want to go to a team that's promising him a lot of minutes in the future? It just takes any of the pressure of the negotiation off. And for teams that might be, say, you know, in the second apron, they might be contenders looking for one final piece, but they don't have flexibility to add real talent. Now they can look at Damian Lillard, who's already getting paid, and say, hey, come over here and play with us. We'll treat you well. We'll take care of you. All you've got to worry about is the basketball stuff. And so many times we see these stars get stuck, John, right? Because they want to have it all. They want to have the money. They want to have the market. They want to be able to compete for a title. I mean, didn't LeBron just put out a statement this week through his agent talking about how he was going to, observe very carefully the Lakers' moves to see if they could build a championship contending team for him? And meanwhile, he's just opted into a $53 million contract, which obviously makes it very hard to assemble a championship roster around him because he's making so much money. Lillard doesn't have that concern anymore. He could just take a veteran minimum contract if he wanted to and get himself on a team that's loaded, that's stacked, and that's ready to try to go win a championship. So I think it's a very favorable outcome for Damian Lillard, and it's a rare situation. You hardly ever see this in the NBA, especially for star players. Usually they make too much money to have any team try to stretch it out like the Bucks are, and I think that's why a lot of other teams around the league are looking at Milwaukee and saying, we can't believe you did this.
Give me an idea how his injury factors in potentially signing, because he'll have to rehab that torn Achilles. Does a team sign him now and rehab him, or does he go on his own and wait and see? Because we all know rosters and circumstances change. He could pick a team now that really isn't in the same form in a year.
Yeah, I think the smart, forward-looking teams that would be interested in him would try to sign him now, and they'd try to sign him to a multi-year contract, right? And they'd say, don't even worry about the first year. All you got to do in the first year is try to get your body right because you got injured in the playoffs, and it's pretty unlikely for a player at Lillard's age that he's going to try to come back and play during next season, right? And you don't want to try to rush him back for next year's playoffs. That's how you get in trouble. Remember, he got injured with the Achilles because he tried to rush back from the blood clot. You remember that, right? So I think everyone's going to take a slow and steady approach. And so the only cost to a team trying to get Lillard would be the roster spot. You know, you just have to have a spot for him, you know, keep him on your roster. But besides that, you take it nice and slow, and you try to get a multi-year contract so that you've already got him on your books with your program ready to go the following year. Now, I guess there would be some risk for teams who are saying, well, how much basketball does Damian Lillard have left in him at this stage of his career? By the time he gets back, you know, he's going to be in his late 30s. He's a smaller point guard. He was still an all-star this year, but he didn't look like a top 10 player. He needs to have the ball in his hands. He's not the world's best defender. So there are some concerns. But I think, again, if it's a team that's in a championship window, they might be trying to sell Lillard on a smaller role than he's had in the past, right? They might be saying, hey, you've never won a championship, right? Never reached the finals. Come and do that here with us and maybe be more of a role player at this stage of your career instead of being the man. And if Lillard's willing to embrace that kind of stuff, I could definitely see some teams being interested in trying to make that type of pitch to him this summer. And again, so he knows where his home is and he can kind of get himself settled, get his family settled if he needs to do that as well, and kind of take off from there. If I were him, I would rather know where I'm going instead of just sitting out this upcoming year and not having an idea, right? I think certainty would be valuable. He doesn't have to rush into it, but if I were him, I would want to know.
Damian Lillard's been the kind of player that needs the ball, needs to score, offensive-minded. Have you found circumstances where guys have been willing to shift mindset, or is that a difficult thing for a star player to do?
No, it's definitely a difficult thing, especially when you were the man for so long, you know? I mean, we saw how awkward the transition was just for Lillard to go from being the number one guy to the number two guy. Do you remember when he came back for that first game against the Blazers? The Blazers had nobody on their team, and they still beat the Bucks. I mean, for Lillard's emotional homecoming return, he's greeting all of these fans at Adidas, and then the Bucks go out there and lay an egg, and the Blazers beat them. I mean, that was just a fascinating thing to watch develop. And at the core of Milwaukee's challenges were that Lillard couldn't adjust very easily, at least not quickly, to taking on that number two role. Now, it was better this past year than it was the first year. They struck a little bit better of a balance, but still Milwaukee felt like they had to trade away Chris Middleton because Giannis and Dame were really both trying to operate as number one options. But look, Lillard's going to have a long time to think about this, right? I mean, he's going to be out most likely for a full year, and if he doesn't come back until the following season, you know, I'm talking about the 26-27 season, he's looking at 16 months, you know, 17 months where it's, you know, about reflection. It's about, you know, thinking, what do you want from the rest of your career? What's the right way to tie this thing up? And the obvious missing piece to his resume, because he does have a gold medal, it's a championship, right? And so if I were him, looking at a smaller role where he could be, incredibly productive as a scorer, not need to carry the same burden, if I were him, I would be looking to go to a team that has a lot of skilled defensive pieces, because that was a real issue for him in Milwaukee. You know, people were blowing by him, and there was no one to help on the backside, and Milwaukee's interior defense just wasn't up to snuff, and that's one reason why they struggled last year. So I try to be real calculated about the type of team that I join, and potentially try to get to end your career on a higher note than this moment right now, which is obviously, I think, probably a little embarrassing, and certainly not how he wanted that Bucks chapter to end.
Chip on his shoulder, right on brand, right? You know, Weber State to the Blazers, and now being released by the Milwaukee Bucks. Where does this leave Giannis in your mind?
Well, look, I mean, I don't think that they would have done this deal, given the expense of how much they're going to be paying Lillard to go away and how much they just paid Miles Turner, who, by the way, was coming off a terrible finals. I don't know if you caught that, John, but yeah. I mean, he was the biggest choker, honestly, on Indiana's team. I think there's a lot of Pacers fans who feel like if Miles Turner had shown up and played to just his normal standard, not saying have a great series, just have an average series, the Pacers would have won the championship. You go back and look, what's his best skill on offense? It's shooting three-pointers, right? He was 6-for-28 in the finals against Oklahoma City across seven games. He didn't even make one three per game, and he started to get afraid. That was the worst part. As that series unfolded, he started to pass the ball. He didn't want to take the shot. He didn't want to be the man. And then once Halliburton got hurt, he couldn't step up and help save the team, even though he was one of their longest tenured guys. So to pay that guy $100 million over 4 years, I don't know. It's a little bit too rich for my blood. I understand the Pacers fans right now are going to be sad because he walks out the door and they don't really have a great replacement for him. But I think it's going to be one of those things where you take a half step back and it actually benefits you, because you don't have that contract on your books and you're a little bit more flexible and you can go forward and try to address that problem down the line. I mean, Indiana's not going anywhere next year anyways because of that Halliburton injury. So for Giannis, he's going to hope that Miles Turner can help get him over the hump. But you look at the rest of their rotation. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr., Kyle Kuzma, Taurean Prince, Bobby Portis, these are not big-time players right now in the NBA. And so I think Giannis is going to look at the Eastern Conference and say, well, Boston's out of the picture because of Tatum. Indiana's out of the picture because of Halliburton. Cleveland and New York, they have never won at the highest level. So Giannis is going to feel like, hey, if I stick in Milwaukee this summer, I'm going to have a chance to reach the finals. But I don't know. I'm not buying it. I think Milwaukee is going to be one of those teams that goes out relatively early in the playoffs, and they're just not built to sustain a deep playoff run with Giannis as the only star with that group. So I'm sure he's going to be happy. He loves Milwaukee. He didn't really want to leave. The Bucks tried to do whatever they could to put some talent around him this summer. They solved the Lillard problem by just kind of moving forward without him, and it kind of opens up a new chapter for the Bucks. But I think the new Bucks are going to look a lot like the old Bucks, where they go out in the first round of the playoffs and everybody wonders, how did this team win a championship in 2021? And they've never even come close to getting back to that stage in the years since.
Ben Golliver, Washington Post senior NBA writer, is our guest. Lillard's potential destinations, I don't know, Miami, Golden State comes to mind because he's an Oakland kid. Where else are you thinking?
Well, I think that he should cast a very wide net. He should not rush into it. You know, the Miami stuff has been out there for years. Everybody wants to play in Miami, right? But how ready are the Heat to win a championship? You know, like, I'm even thinking, could he join a team like the Celtics, right? I mean, obviously they're rivals of the Bucks, but if they come back reloaded with Tatum the following year after his Achilles, Lillard's on a bargain basement contract for the Celtics, could they reload and make some real noise in the Eastern Conference? Like, that would be a pretty interesting fit to me. They have a lot of good defensive pieces they could surround him with. I mean, you could throw out all sorts of dream scenarios. Imagine if the Houston Rockets grabbed him for cheap, right? And they've been getting everybody this summer. They've got a point guard in Fred VanVleet who's good but not great. Could they have Lillard either as a starting point guard the following year or potentially as like a super sub sixth man microwave scorer off the bench with Kevin Durant and this loaded group with their young guys like Amen Thompson and Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Sengun. I mean, that would just be an absolutely freaking loaded team, right? You could also play the game of, you know, the Lakers. I mean, you could just have a dream list here if you're Lillard, because of the financial stuff I was talking about earlier. So the Warriors definitely deserve to be on that list. I mean, it's tough because, you know, you're always going to be on Steph Curry's team, right? So you're going to have to take a back seat. He would have to be ready to do that. Another team to look at, you know, the Dallas Mavericks, they've got Kyrie Irving also on an injury coming into next season, so they just signed D'Angelo Russell as a stopgap. Could you imagine a scenario the following year where they come back, Kyrie's healthy, Lillard's healthy, Anthony Davis, Cooper, Flagg, they've got the centers there with Gafford and Lively, they've got the size inside, PJ Washington, and that's a pretty formidable team, right? I mean, Lillard, you know, could probably talk himself into having a chance at making a run to the finals with that group as well. I don't know. I mean, you could just have all these dream scenarios if you're Lillard. You almost have your choice of, like, where exactly is going to give me the best path to try to get to a championship, because money shouldn't be an object anymore.
Blazers made a curious pick with the number 16 pick in the draft. They take Yang Hansen, and certainly there may be an NBA China strategy behind this, or maybe they're trying to get investors in China interested in bidding on the team. What did you make of the Blazers' draft strategy?
Well, I didn't get it initially, but this idea of buying out Ayton, it's really unusual, right? Because this guy's in his prime, he's got the double-doubles and all that, but they had too many centers. And I think, frankly, I think you and I have talked about this previously, John, they had too many high-salaried guys who did not have winning behavior, you know, had no track record of driving wins themselves. And so far, to me, they've gotten rid of two of the three. They got rid of Simons, they got rid of Ayton, and then the last one who's left is Jeremy Grant. To me, it's a successful summer. Put aside the draft pick, it's a successful summer. They can clear out those three guys and retool a culture that's younger, and it's about better habits and better behavior, right? So if that means Hansen, if that means Kleene gets more opportunity, if that means Scoot gets more opportunity with a new mentor in Drew Holiday, who to me is a much better veteran presence than any of the older veterans the Blazers have had in recent years, if there's more opportunities for Denny Abdia and Tumani Kamara, I just like that version of the Blazers a heck of a lot more than the version that really didn't have a great identity here over these last couple of years. So in general, I like the big picture moves from them, but I think it's really a tough spot to be in when you're drafting a guy as a first-round pick, 20-something picks before most people had him projected, 20 years old, obviously some cultural differences he's got to overcome in terms of the language and coming to the NBA. Like, if I'm the Blazers, I'm trying to keep the pressure off him as much as possible, and it kind of feels like they're going the other way. Like, they're leaning in to the Hansen mania, right? You know, it's like, oh, my God, let's, blow this guy up and, you know, content left, right, and center. And I know he's already got, you know, a huge Chinese media following, the fans as well. You know, there were some Chinese media members, John, at the NBA Finals who left the finals during the middle of the series to go cover his workout or his event in California, because back in China, that was a bigger deal than the NBA Finals. So, I mean, that's real juice. You know, the kids call it motion. That's real motion that he brings to the table. But it's asking an awful lot of him. You know, I want them to try to take it nice and slow with him. They still need to take it nice and slow with Kleene as well, who I thought had kind of a choppy rookie season. I had higher expectations for him than he developed. And so to me, they're walking into a little bit of a crossroads here for Hansen, honestly, because they're building up all this hype, and then he's going to have to deliver. And how many rookie 20-year-old centers who haven't played college basketball deliver in the NBA? It's not a very long list.
Ben Golliver, you're the best. I know you're a busy man. Find him on the Washington Post. Follow him on social media. Thank you for giving us your time.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Take care.
All right, there he goes, Ben Golliver. Good stuff. We'll kick it around coming up next. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide.